Okay, good morning, good night of Shabbos. We are continuing with the Maharal on the Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Yisro, Tavshin Pei Dalid. And we are keeping in mind for Refuah Shlema, Taka very much in need of Refuah Shlema, Gita Rivka Bas Chaya Risa, who our learning this entire week has been sponsored as a schus for her Refuah. The topic we're going to talk about for the majority, the bulk of the time, tonight, source number one, although the truth is if we get to number two, which last week we did, so maybe we're starting a new track record of doing so. But in source number one, it's a topic that the Maharal talks about here in Gur Aryeh, so we'll spend most of our time, if you look at the format of the sheet, it's all Gur Aryeh with indents to other sources. And even though we're starting with Gur Aryeh, we're going to move into other places. Rabbi Hartman notes in one of his footnotes to the Sefer, he points out that he knows that Maharal talks about this exact question that we're going to deal with in 5.5 places, one of them being Gur Aryeh, and 4.5 other places. 4 places explicitly, I think in Netzach Yisrael, in Tiferes Yisrael, in Gur Hashem somewhere, or rather in Drush Ala Mitzvos, which we'll get to, and then he's miramis to it, that's the half. He's miramis to it, he alludes to this topic, he hints to it, somewhere in Be'er Gola as well. So this is an important topic for the Maharal. You'll see soon, it's foundational. It's fundamental to really all of us to understanding Kabbalah HaTorah, and therefore, Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim and Kiyum HaTorah for the entirety of our lives. You'll see soon exactly what we're referring to. This is always true, this disclaimer, but it's worthwhile once in a while to restate it. And also in particular here, it's even more true. Obviously, I benefit tremendously from Rabbi Hartman's footnotes in the Sefer, the edition that he put out, the blue ones. In this shiur in particular, even you'll just see the way the shiur is set up. It's literally, I'm doing the Gur Aryeh, and there's indented references to other places. 99.9% of these references are from Rabbi Hartman. And source number one are from Rabbi Hartman himself. So it's not like this isn't my expertise or bekiyas in widespread areas in the Maharal. This is really all from him. But we'll learn it together, and B'siyat HaShemai will all be a nehneh. So if you look in source number one, the Psukim, Parshas Yisro, tell us that Vayi Bayom HaShlishi, it was the third day Bios Baiker, Vayi Kolos Uvrakim Va'anan V'Kavid Al Ahar V'Kol Shofar Chazak Me'od. So there was smoke, and there was fire, and there was the sound of a shofar. Someone sent me a source yesterday from, I forgot, some Chassidish Rebbe, I forgot which one, that there's an inn to smoke on Shuas, that people should smoke on Shuas, because to be Mekayim, the smoke of the Har, Kulo Ashen. So whatever, he was mechavim to a joke I once had also, I don't have time to spell it out now, but I was mechavim to that once, that it's important to smoke in a base measure. So apparently that comes out of this pasuk. V'kol shofar chazak me'od v'yechred kol ha'am asher b'machne. Everyone was fearful, everyone was trembling, everyone was nervous. Okay. V'yotze Moshe z'am likras elokim min ha'machne. Moshe Rabbeinu brings out the Klal Yisrael. V'yisyatzu b'tachta zahar. They stood under the har. So Rashi says, b'tachta zahar, Mizdama the Pashtas, what this pasuk really means, it doesn't mean they stood under the mountain. You don't stand under a mountain. It means they stood at the foot of the mountain. It means they stood right at the edge where the mountain starts, where the ground ends and leads into the mountain. However, there's a medrash which we're all familiar with. Rashi quotes, and it's the Gemara in Shabbos Peches. Midrasho, shenitlash hahar mimekomo, the mountain was lifted up from out of its place, v'nichba aleim kegigis, kaf aleim har kegigis, he held the mountain over the Jewish people's heads, and what did he say? If you're Makabal, great. If you're not Makabal Torah, if you don't accept the Torah, sham teik v'raslam, you're going to be buried right here, the mountain's going to be plopped down right on top of you. So it says in Maharal that we know that's what the Gemara says. Tosfos asks a famous kasha that everyone deals with on Shavuos time. Tosfos asks, why do we need a kaf aleim har kegigis? Why do we be forced into Kabbalah HaTorah? We were already Mekabel Torah. We said Naseh V'Nishma. We said we, by our own volition, are already Mekabel Torah. So why do I need that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold a mountain over our heads and force us to keep the mitzvahs? We're familiar with that question from Tosfos. He asks that. Tosfos give their own answer. There's an answer in the Medrash. There are other answers in the Rishon and the Achronim. But the Maharal here says something very fundamental in the bold. He has problems with Tosfos, and he says, I don't know, not as a person, just he has problems with Tosfos' answer in that instance. Aval Iker Perish Asher Nira Pashit. This is the obvious answer. Ki kava leim hahar kegigis lomar im lo tekabla Torah sham teik v'rastem lomar ki a Torah hiachreches likabala v'im lo yikabla Torah sham teik v'rastem v'yadua ki dvar mamuchrachim lios him chashuvim v'mayle yoser she'yefshem mibal adam v'in kiyum lenimsa bezulasam. What did the Maharal just tell us? He told us a fascinating idea. He said that why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hold the mountain overhead is for a very simple reason. It's true that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah of their own volition. They willingly, they desired to say Naaseh V'Nishma. They wanted the Torah on their own. It was their ratzon. That is true. That's what happened historically. However, the Torah is, quote, hechreches likabala. Torah is a necessity. Torah is by force. Torah must be. So So even if it's true that Klal Yisrael also want the Torah, they also say Naaseh V'Nishma, they also want to accept the Torah of their own will, that's their desire, but the Torah also has to be. It has to be, it has to exist, it's hechreches, it's by force, it's forced upon us that the Torah exists. Did we accept it of our own volition? Yes, we did. But even though we accept it on our own, Hashem has to make the point clear to us that you have to keep the Torah. The Torah has to be in existence, the world wouldn't exist without the Torah. The Torah is hechrechi, it's necessary to the entirety of existence. This is consistent, this is something that, I mentioned to you in the past, my Rebbe and Maharal, Avram Alter from Riverdale, has mentioned in the past with other rayos, other proofs from Maharal and from Rav Huttner. But it's consistent with the way the Maharal understands that messages which are given over have to be given over in a consistent fashion with the message itself. It's a very important point. Meaning, it's not enough to give the Torah over and say that it's forced if we accept it willingly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give over the Torah by force in order to display the fact that it is forced upon us, in order to explain the fact that it's a necessity, that the world couldn't exist without it. Rav Huttner talks about this in his introduction to the Pachad Yitzchak in general, that the whole way that you give a shmooze about Hilchos Deos and Hilchos Chovos Lvavos, the way you give a shmooze about things which are philosophical, things which are moving, things which are inspirational to a person's heart, has to be done in a different way. It can't be given as a cerebral frontal lecture where someone's just spitting out the sources in front of everyone and rambling on and on. It has to be at around the table. There has to be, I don't know, whatever. Maybe there has to be music. Maybe there has to be some singing to make dveikus. There has to be the mode and the method has to be consistent with the messaging. So here too, the method of hechriches, of holding the mountain overhead, was to be consistent and to display and to express that message of Torah is necessary. Torah must be. There's no options here. You may have opted. You may have elected to accept it, but it doesn't change the fact that it is absolutely necessary and forced upon the entirety of the world. And in fact, the world would not exist without it. And in this context, the Maharal told us that kiadvarim hamuchrachim lios him chashuvim b'ma'ala yoser, things which are by force, which are, you know, necessary to the world, are even more chashiv, even more significant than things which are optional. What does he mean? So you look in the indent over here. The Gur Aryeh, in a comment in Parshas Emor, writes that we know Chazal tells in the Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Aleph that Gadol HaMetzuveh Ve'Oseh Yoser Meha Eino Metzuveh Oseh. Someone who is commanded to do something gets greater schar, is held in higher esteem. It's a more chashuv thing. It's a more significant thing to do a mitzvah that you're commanded to do than to volunteer to do a mitzvah. That seems almost counterintuitive. We think if you volunteer to do a mitzvah, that's even more chashuv. You're going out of your way to do it. But the Maharal explains, no, it's even more chashuv when he gives a mashal. This is a very, very helpful mashal. He says, let's say there's a king, and the king says, I want two different people to do two different jobs for me. You, I want you to build me a house. Build me a house. And the other person says, I want you to build me a beautiful garden where I could take, you know, walks during the day in. So who's closer to the king? Who's doing the more important thing for the king? So you might have thought the garden builder is more beautiful, he's going to enjoy himself there. No, the house is more important because the king needs a house to live in. The king needs a palace, he needs to live in something. So the person who's doing the job which is necessary, which is behechreyach, which must be, he is doing something more chashiv, more significant, more important objectively than the person who's doing something which may be more beautiful, maybe more flashy, maybe more exciting and more passionate, but it's less necessary. It's less behechreyach. The Torah is hechreches. The Torah is necessary. There are no options when it comes to the Torah. Even if you opted to accept it, there still is no option when it comes to the Torah existing. Just a side point that's on my mind. You know, so you hear people talk like this all the time. I happen to have heard it recently, but you hear it all the time. There are people who say, you know, when they talk about how from they are or how from they aren't, how observant they are, or how observant they aren't. So you hear sometimes people have a lashon, a sprach, where they say they do the things that are meaningful to them. I don't know. It's not meaningful to me to not eat basar b'chalav. You think the Ribbono Shel Olam really cares if my meat touches my dairy? He has the more important things to worry about. There's a war in Eretz Yisrael. There's a famine. There's this. There's things that cause trouble. He's not so worried about my basar b'chalav, chas v'shalom. And a person says that doesn't mean much to me. Tefillin connects me to Hashem. Do I know why it's more significant? No, but like when I wrap it around my arm and I put it on my head, I think I'm hugging Kadosh Baruch Hu, I feel it. So tefillin, I'll keep up, and you know, bas b'chalav, I won't come. Shabbos, to disconnect from the phone, very chashiv. It's meaningful to me to disconnect from the phone. But during the week, to disconnect from my phone in order not to see things I shouldn't see, or not to say things I shouldn't say in Lashon Hara, that's not as meaningful to me. So I don't have to keep that halacha. And people talk like, you hear people talk like this, where they're picking and choosing. Now, there are two levels to the issue over here. One is that the mitzvah of tefillin is, you know, the mitzvah of bas b'chalav is being neglected. The mitzvah of, you know, I forgot the other examples, Lashon Hara, is being neglected by a person saying, it's not necessary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give me a Torah that I have to keep. He gave me a Torah that I can now, it's a smorgasbord of a Torah. I can choose which things I want to partake of. That's a one problem. But you have to think about it. The problem is even deeper than that. If a person's able to say, I don't care about basar b'chalav, it makes their tefillin less meaningful too. If a person's able to say, lashon hara is not something which is by force, it makes their shmiras Shabbos less important too. Because unless a person accepts that the entire Torah is hechreches, is necessary to the kiyum of the individual in the entire world, then every mitzvah he does loses that meaning. It loses that hechrechi nature of the Kabbalah Torah. He's not getting half credit. He's getting zero credit. He's not doing anything. He's not part of a Torah. He's part of his own system. He's serving himself. He's doing something entirely different, entirely unrelated to a Torah, which is by force. And that's an important idea because we're talking about extremes. Someone who's not keeping kosher, but yeah, putting on tefillin is an extreme. But what about someone who doesn't care so much about avoiding lashon hara, talks in shul during kriyas haTorah, you know, skips minyan, skips whatever, you make up whatever topic it is. But these are things that we've decided are less hechrechi, are less significant. Who told you they're less significant? You told yourself they're less significant. So that's a pagam, it's a lack in the shmira of that particular mitzvah, but it also kore tagar, it also sheds a certain negative light on all the other mitzvahs that a person is performing. So it applies to all of us at our levels. We have to be careful about everything because the Torah is hechrechis l'kabbalah. The Torah is necessary at every level, at every point, and every place in that Torah. In this context, if you go right from the indent to the next source that's still in the Gur Aryeh that we started with, so the Maharal says that's the reason, the connection the Gemara has, that first it says that you have to hold the mountain over your head and force you to keep the Torah, otherwise you're going to die. And then the Gemara says, and we know the Pasuk says, Vayi'er Vayivoker Yom HaShishi, that Friday is referred to Yom HaShishi, and it's referring to Kabbalah Satorah. Why is it Hey HaYasera, Hey Yedia? Because the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tenai, a condition, Maisa Bereishis, that if you accept the Torah, the world will continue. If you do not accept the Torah, the world will return to Tohu Vavohu. The world will just go back to before Maisa Bereishis, Kivyachol, will cease to exist. Why? Because the world depends on the Torah. You know, it's famous that in the Velazhin, they had the minhag, Reb Chaim Velazhin writes about it, in Nefesh HaChaim, they had the minhag that there shouldn't be a time during the night where someone isn't learning Torah. And the reason was because they wanted to make sure, I guess they didn't realize the whole time zone thing that it works, but they wanted to make sure that someone's always learning, so the Torah shouldn't cease to be learned, and the world shouldn't cease to exist. If we stop learning for a minute, the world won't exist. So 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., in my house, there's also a minhag. Someone should be up at every hour of the night. The kids have this minhag. They're not always learning, but they're always making sure to be on a rotation. So but that comes from here. The world will cease to exist if we don't have a Torah. It's hechrechi, it's necessary, it's forced on us. It has to be. That's the method which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to give us that message. If you go to the next non-intended part, we're skipping an important line in the Tiferes Yisrael, just in the interest of time, but if you see the paragraph that starts, Uve Medrash, this is a fascinating, wild, provocative, risque Medrash, but the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he forced us to keep the Torah, he entered himself into a situation similar to the person, a Rasha, in Parshas Kisetze, where the Psukim tell us that if someone is ma'anis, someone rapes a woman, so one of the consequences is v'lo siel isha lo yuchal eshalcha kol yamav. One of the consequences is that the rapist, the person who is ma'anis, this woman, has to marry her now, should she choose to agree to. If she doesn't want to see him ever again, that's her prerogative. But should she choose to say, hey, you know, you got yourself into this, now you have to marry me, he has to marry her and he's never allowed to divorce her. He's never allowed to get rid of this wife. So the Medrash says, Hashem did the same thing over here. It's wild to even say it. It's like hard to say it out loud, but we'll see soon what the Maharal makes of it. Hashem did the same thing. He forced us to keep the Torah. He held the mountain over our heads and made us keep the Torah, and now he can't get rid of us. Now he's stuck. Now he has to marry us, and he has to hold on to us forever. Whoa, that's a wild, wild statement. So the Maharal says, no, Chas v'Shalom doesn't mean to be a literal comparison. What it means is like this. What's the pshat in the case of the ones, the case of the person who rapes a woman, that he has to marry her? He says the pshat is that in that case, the maisa, the action you do by force, when you do an action that forces someone else, it's a very strong action. It's a very strong kinyan. It's a very strong acquisition of the thing which you were acting upon. So because, by dint of the fact that he acted in such a way that he was ma'anis, this woman, he has to hold on to her forever. He can't let go because his action was such a strong action of connection. That chibur, that connection, that link can't be broken anymore for the rest of history. Lo yuchal l'shalcha. You can't get rid of her kol yama for the rest of your life. So too HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he held the mountain over our heads and forced us into a Kabbalah Satorah, he was saying, and I'll never let go. He was forming a connection that was so strong so formidable that there's no way it could ever be broken. That bris, that covenant that was made between us, that deal that was cut between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment was a lo yuchal l'shalcha type of deal. It was a deal with so much connection, so much attention to the other person that it could never be broken. It could never be cut apart. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guaranteeing us by forcing us into Kabbalah HaTorah. So the first thing we said was that it makes the Torah more, the higher level of chashivas to the Torah. That since it's by force, by nature, it's necessary, that shows the level of how significant Torah is because the world can't exist without it. Here we're saying the bond between us that's forged between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made so strong, so impossible to end through the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us, so to speak, into the relationship. Lastly, if you look at the bottom of page number 1, going on to page number 2, the Maharal in Sefer Tiferes Yisrael in Perek Tes Zayin says that there's another maila, there's another advantage to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, forced us into Kabbalah HaTorah. He notes that if you look in the bold, Lo nikra davar zeshu tachas reshus Hashem Yisbarach kasher adam mekabel atzmo. We could decide to do things on our own. When we decide to do things on our own, we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a whole bunch of things that we could do. We elect to do them, so we have some sort of, you know, peripheral relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We come and we go as we please. We have a shaychus. But you're not actually part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not in his reshus. You're not in his world. You're not living in his orbit, in his da'at al-amos. Im lo shegazar lav ha'ila. V'zehu ikar ha'perish ma'asha amruzal shekaf aleim har kegigis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us. Next page. Ein roi sheyiyah kabal satorah me'atzmo shel adam. It's not fitting that the Torah should be just accepted by us. Shebezeh lo ha'ila gamrei tachas reshus ha'ila. Says the Maharal that if you accept to do things, you're doing favors. If you're forced to do something, you're part of that person's life. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, you must keep the Torah or else you will die, now you're his eved, now you're his servant, you're his slave, you're there forever, now you're in his home, now you're in his reshus, now you're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real, deep, serious way. And that, the advantage, we don't have to spend time spelling out, the advantage of being an Eved Hashem versus being a volunteer in the office, comes in at whatever days of the week that he so pleases, it's in Adama. You can't compare the two things. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the gift of being forced into Kabbalah Torah. Look in the indent at the top of page number 2. This is from the Sefer Drush Ala Torah. I had to type this myself, so we're going to read this one inside to make it worthwhile. But this Drush Ala Torah is also the Maharal that he gave. It's actually, I'm pretty sure, it's the most recent publication of Rabbi Hartman. So it came out this past year. So here he says that it's nice that we said Na'aseh v'nishma, Amnam b'mesha kafa le'mahar hema avodim mukhrachim kenuyim. You're a volunteer. But kafalayim hakigigis, it's forced on you. Now you're an eved. Now you're part of the team. Now you're in the corporation. And that's more of a shaychus. That being said, the Maharal continues later in that same drasha, and he says in the next paragraph, Matov manayim, even if it's true that you're forced into it, Matov manayim is beautiful, Mu'ula bioser, and even more gorgeous, Kasher ha'evin mekabel gezer echeriches, you accept that you're forced to do it, Miritzono ha'tov gamkein, ve'osa me'ava. It's nice that a person is forced into the relationship, but then it would be nice if he does it happily and excitedly and passionately also. We need to balance these things. We need to balance these things, which is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu forces us. He holds the mountain over our heads, but then he also promises us, V'atem shamo teshmu b'koli, if you listen to me, if you follow me, you'll v'hisam l'skula mikola amim, you'll be raised up to a higher level. So it's a balancing act. It's true we're being forced into and we're avadim, but we're avodim mitoch simcha. We do avod Hashem, ivdu Hashem b'simcha. We do it b'simcha, b'ahava, b'dveka. So we want to balance the fact that we are avadim and the fact that we get meaning and depth and passion and inspiration from the mitzvahs that we are doing. To sum it up, right before source number 2, which B'lin Nedar Mitzvah, we will touch on, the Rabbi Hartman in a final footnote in that piece in Gur Aryeh, he sums it up and says, basically from the Maharal, what comes out in these different places is that you have three perspectives on this forced nature of Kabbalah HaTorah. One is Lahoros Ma'alas HaTorah. First of all, it shows you how significant Torah is, because Torah is necessary. The world couldn't exist without Torah. How did Hashem teach us that? By giving it into us in such a way that it was forced upon us. Not because we did accept it ourselves. But Hashem had to give it to us in a method of force to show us that the Torah is force in the world. If the Torah wouldn't exist, the world wouldn't exist. If the Torah would cease to be learned, the world would cease to function. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in such a way to display through the method that exact message. Two is Shamasovev Mikviya Zo. That mashal from the Medrash, that crazy mashal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah on us so that he would be stuck with us. He was binding himself to us in a way that could never be detached by forcing us to be mekabel the Torah, and that's the second advantage of a Kabbalah Torah in this way. Thirdly, the last thing we said is that through Kabbalah Torah, by force, we are zocha, we merit to be avadim, we merit to be servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be part of the business, not just to be visitors, not just to have a volunteer job, and that's a tremendous mile in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In source number two, and you'll see this actually connects right back, the psukim at the very, very end of Parshat, the pasuk at the very, very end of Parshat Bishalach says, "Vayishalach Moshe eschos no vayilech lo el arzo." Moshe Rabbeinu sent his shver away. I was mekayim that last week. My shver was here for a few days. I sent him away on Matzei Shabbos. Okay, he sent his shver away. He sent the chos and Moshe Yisro away. Then Parshas Yisro begins, the very first pasuk. "Bachodesh shlishi liseis bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai." So the Torah connects from last week's parsha at the very end to this week's parsha in the very beginning, the sending of Yisrael to the fact that we are makabel the Torah. What do those two have to do with each other? That's the very, very first thing that the Maharal writes about in his Drush al Torah. You have it here in source number two, the Drush al Torah in the Hakdama, in the introduction. He says, Yesh Lishol, I have a question. Lama nismicha parsha zos? Why is this parsha of Yisro, of Matan Torah, coming right on the heels of sending Yisro away? Especially because, the Maharal points out, this happened after Matan Torah. Whether you hold Yisro came before or after, whatever you want to make of Kodem Matan Torah Ba or Lachar Matan Torah Ba, certainly Moshe Rabbeinu sending Yisro away happened after Matan Torah by like a year or two, correct? So that's for sure true. So why is it written before? He sent Yisro away, then they got the Torah. No, they got the Torah, then they sent Yisro away. So the Maharal says something unbelievable. This is an amazing Maharal. Two different answers, but both incredible. The question and the answer are mamash amazing. Beautiful. Starts with some background. In the second paragraph, Vinira Lomar, he says, you can explain that the reason why these two things were connected is Lahoros Lanu Kili Yisrael Befrat Uve'etzem Nisyachsa Nisina Satorah Behechle V'lolu Zulasan Me'a Amim. Says the Maharal that only the Jewish people could have been Makabal the Torah. The Torah is only relevant, is only fit for the Jewish people. Why? Because they went through Mitzrayim. They were in the Abdus of Mitzrayim. And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out. Asher Otzesi Osam Eschem Mi Mitzrayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, listen to this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us that he was Goel, that he redeemed us from Mitzrayim, we owe it to him to keep the Torah. The Torah is necessary, is forced on us because we have a debt of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Only a Jewish people who were redeemed from Mitzrayim could be so forced into Kabbalah's Torah. Kabbalah's Torah can't be optional, like we said before. It can't be something you opt into, that you decide, oh, I'll be part of it. No, to form the Jewish people and to give them the Torah that very first time, it had to come as a form of payment for the debt, something we were forced by necessity into, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. A Peledic line in the Maharal over here. And he says, that's the pshat, this is amazing. The Rishonim ask us, the Ibn Ezra asks us, the Rishonim deal with it. Kuzari talks about this, many talk about this. The Sfas Emes, we spoke about last year, I think, talks about this as well. The pasuk in the very beginning of the Aseret Dibro says that Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher. What's the question? How would you describe Hashem? If you were introducing yourself, if you know, you were getting up to speak in front of everyone and you did two things. One of them was you took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. The other one is you also, created the world. So how would you want Rabbi Rabach to introduce you? Creator of the world. Now introducing Jonah Steinman, it's the creator of the world. That's pretty chashiv. Taking out Mitzrayim, it was a nice side act. But Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Barasi Es HaKol, Asher Barasi Es HaOlam, Asher I breathe your lives into existence. Why does it start with the Tzias Mitzrayim? So the Maharal is unbelievable. He says, no, that's the pshat. I'm giving you the Torah now. I'm giving you the mitzvos. You know why the mitzvos matter? You know why the mitzvos have to be? You know why you have to be Mekabel this Torah? Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Because you have a debt. You owe me one. I took you out of Mitzrayim. That's the Hakdama, and that's the basis for the entirety of Torah, says the Maharal. So only a Jewish people who went through Mitzrayim and the redemption from therein can be Mekabel HaTorah, Asher Otzeisi Eschem, Mei Eretz Mitzrayim, Muchrachim Atem Lekabel Gzeirasi, Vitorasi Baal Karchem. You must accept the Torah. Says the Maharal, Nizbar Lecha Gamkein, Ki Yisro Lo HaYashayach Mevchina Zos. Yisro couldn't attach to that. Shelo Hotziu in the underline, Mi Mitzrayim, Lo Siya Lo Kabbal HaTorah, Ki Meratzen Atmo. His Kabbal HaTorah would have been a optional volunteer Kabbalah Satorah. That does not live up to the standard of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah has to be by force. Has to be, as we said before, with a kafalem harki gigis, that you owe a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Asher Otzeisi Eschem, Eretz Mitzrayim. That's why Yisro couldn't be part of it. So says the Maharal, unbelievable. It's true. Moshe Rabbeinu sent his shver Yisro away after Matan Torah, but the Torah says, you should know, as sort of a precursor, as a prerequisite to the Torah, to the Kabbalah Satorah, Yisro can't be there. In saying that before Kabbalah Satorah, the Torah is telegraphing to us that one of the conditions, the condition in Kabbalah Satorah, is it has to be Asher Otzei Yischem Eretz Yisrael. It has to be felt like it's a debt, it's forced. You have to accept the Torah. And Yisro can't be there. So by saying Yisro can't be there before giving us the Torah is displaying to us what the nature of Kabbalah Satorah was, even though chronologically it happened in the other order. Unbelievable from the Maharal. Lastly, and we'll end with this, the Maharal goes on and gives a second answer, but Ofen Acher, the very last paragraph on page number 2, the Maharal quotes a Medrash, which quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. You have to read this inside. This is Gevaldik. But he basically says that the other reason why Yisro couldn't be Mekabel the Torah was because only those who were in Mitzrayim could get the Torah, not only because Hashem redeemed them from therein, but also because the very fact that we were in Mitzrayim makes us roy for the Torah. How so? So the Maharal says, because a person is only able to be kona Torah, based on the Gemara and Brachos in the first parak, a person is only able to acquire Torah completely if they go through Yisurin, if they struggle, if they are challenged, if they suffer in their lifetime. Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba are all nicknames by Yisurin. And the Maharal explains that because these things are so lofty, they're so detached from this world, they're so not megushimdik, they're so not physical, so not material to this world, so in order to become relevant to them, a person has to remove themselves from this world a little bit. And only through suffering in this world does a person detach himself from this world. So only if a person suffered the Sivlos Mitzrayim, they went through the purgatory of Mitzrayim, and they suffered those terrible challenges of Mitzrayim, then they could have a relevance to Torah. But if they didn't feel that suffering, that Yisurin, they couldn't possibly be Mekabel Torah. Yisro was sitting on his front porch with his daughters and all of his fat cows and hanging out in Midian when the Jews were suffering Mitzrayim. The Jews can get a Torah. Yisro, unless he's going to suffer like that, can't get a Torah. It's Halo Davar, who, I don't know if the Harman points this out, I don't think the Maharal says it, but when we accept Gerim, when we're Megayer, when we convert people, so the Gemara Nibamas tells us that we're supposed to tell them, are you aware of how downtrodden, how beat up, how much suffering the Jewish people go through? And if they accept that suffering, then they become Jewish people. Why? Because that's part of our mahus, that's part of our essence, that's part of being a Jew, it's part of Kabbalah Satorah, part of Kabbalah Al Machos Shemaim is realizing the detachment and the lack of relevance of yourself to this world. So those are two answers to why Yisro's leaving had to be the prerequisite, the precursor to Kabbalah Satorah, even though it happened chronologically later, because it was teaching us something fundamental about Kabbalah Satorah, either that we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisro didn't owe him, or that we need to go through those Yisurin in order to be Mekabel Torah. We should all be Mekabel Torah without Yisurin. So I think the Stipler has a letter. The Stipler Gaon will end with this, I promise, but I want to end on a positive note. The Stipler Gaon has a letter in his Krein HaDegrusa where he says that it's true that a person has to have Yisurin in order to get certain things. Like we said, Olam Haba, learning. So he said, but it doesn't say what the Yisurin are. So he says, you know what's a really tough Yisurin? When you learn something already and you learn it again, doing Chazara. When you're doing Chazara, something you already know and you just want to learn something new, that's like a very big challenge. It's very very annoying to do that. Do a lot of that. If you do a lot of Chazara, you'll start being Kohen Torah with those Yisurin and you won't have to get other Yisurin either. Trade the Yisurin for something else. So we should all have the least, we should acquire Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and the Olam Haba with the least Yisurin as possible. And B'siyat Hashemayim, everyone should enjoy a wonderful Shabbos.